Hello, my name is Christy Gilson. I am an assistant professor at Moravian College in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, in the United States. I've been totally blind my whole life and have used Braille extensively as a child and again as an academic. The purpose of this podcast is to inspire those of us who may be on the fence about learning Braille, for whatever reason, to consider its study. I will interview several blind people and ask them how they use Braille in their daily lives. Firstly, though, I'll give you my contact information. My email address is christy.gilson74@gmail.com. That's christy.gilson74@gmail.com. My Skype ID is christy8188. christie8188. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, I am Rapunzel1974. RAPUNZEL1974. I assume that most of you listening to this podcast are relatively familiar with what Braille is. But in case you're not, Braille is a system of raised dots that convey the same information that printed letters do, but for people who are blind or visually impaired. Braille was invented by a French genius, Louis Braille, who was born 200 years ago in 1809. In its simplest form, Braille is written by hand with a slate and stylus, which allows the producer of the Braille to punch the dots onto the paper. Other devices for producing Braille were invented in the last century. Since the 1980s, two important technological breakthroughs have occurred in terms of the daily use of Braille. They are both output devices. Braille displays are similar to a sighted person's computer screen or monitor. Braille displays are generally located below the person's computer keyboard or mobile device and vary in size from 12-character to 80-character displays. Rounded pins are pushed up to form the dots that convey the various Braille characters tactually. Braille embossers have revolutionized the production of Braille. They are analogous to printers for sighted people. Braille embossers generally use tractor feed paper. The Braille dots are literally punched onto paper. For blind people who have been lucky enough to use Braille for most of their lives, Braille's importance cannot be overstated. Fluent Braille readers can deliver rousing speeches, efficiently organize CDs or other media. They can also organize canned goods. They can also label important documents. Fluent Braille readers are able to quickly jot down the email addresses of new acquaintances with poise. The use of Braille has been correlated with higher employment rates for people who are blind or visually impaired. See Ruby Ryle's study in 1996. In the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness. I share these anecdotal data with you for purposes of this podcast, not to imply judgment of blind or visually impaired people who don't read Braille, but merely to encourage folks who are considering studying it to delve deeper. Now that the introductory remarks and the case for the use of Braille have been made, I'll share a little bit about my own career and the ways that I use Braille. I was taught Braille from a young age, but I was self-conscious about reading aloud in class since my sighted classmates could read quicker than I could. Still, that didn't stop me from trying out for plays in high school, and I was even given parts in those plays. During my baccalaureate and master's degrees, I didn't use Braille very much other than to take notes on my Braille light or Braille note. Once I was enrolled in my doctorate, though, I began to appreciate the importance of detailed proofreading. I have been a competent screen reader user for years, but I realized that there are simply details of work that I need to manage more closely than speech synthesis will readily allow. I have high expectations for my academic work. I must know where every punctuation mark is. Correct capitalization is critical. I must correct any inadvertent indentations that Microsoft Word, in its infinite wisdom, has decided to insert into my documents. During my time obtaining my doctorate, I observed professors in my academic department at my university and learned their ways. They are extremely busy folks, and they eliminate inefficiencies in their lives. I figured that I would do well to perform the same way as they did. So, while vocational rehabilitation funding still applied to me, I asked my vocational rehabilitation counselor to spend $10,000 U.S. for the purchase of a Braille display, a Braille embosser, and Braille translation software on my behalf. I was convinced that my VR counselor would turn me down, but he did not. The rest is history. My professors noted an immediate improvement in the quality of my work. I noticed that I learned how to spell names quicker. Before turning in any paper, I would Braille a hard copy of it and proofread that aloud to myself. In fact, I still do that. I'm going to be submitting to an academic journal within the week, and I will Braille out the entire paper and read it aloud. And I will find several errors that I would not have found had I just listened to it with speech synthesis. Even beyond finding the errors, for me personally, as we all know, people have different learning styles. For me personally, I concentrate better when I read Braille. When I use speech synthesis, sometimes I tune out. So I'd like to describe for you where I'm sitting right now, and then I'll also take you with me to my office and describe to you what I have there. In my home, in my living room, I have a desk, like most people do, and on my particular desk in front of me is a laptop. I have a 40-cell Focus Braille display right here, and I have a Braille note to my left. I have an Index Braille embosser further to my left in its own special cabinet. I have lots of other kinds of assistive tech, but just for purposes of Braille, that's what I have right here. So two Braille displays and one embosser. I have a Tiger Cub embosser that the U.S. Department of State purchased for me when I was in Hong Kong on a Fulbright Fellowship. Now, for my office, when my current employer, Moravian College, offered me a job a year and a half ago, they asked me what kind of reasonable accommodations I would need. And by this time, I had been using a Braille display and a Braille embosser for at least 5 years. And I knew that they would help me in my job to be as professional and productive as I needed to be. So I told my employer, I need a Braille display, I need a scanner, I need OCR software. And I said they could get me OpenBook or Kurzweil. I preferred OpenBook, though, because that's what I had begun with in 93. I told them I needed a Braille display, a Braille embosser, OpenBook, Duxbury, and JAWS. When my employer asked me for further clarification, I said that a 40-cell Braille display would be absolutely adequate. What I got was an 80-cell Focus Braille display in my office, a Juliet Pro 60 embosser, Duxbury, OpenBook, the scanner, and then another 40-cell Braille display for the classroom in which I would be teaching. Clearly, my employer went way above and beyond what was necessary under the law, and I would like to thank Moravian College for believing in me. I've made a list of the tasks that I use Braille for. Let's see how my list compares with the people whose interviews you will hear in a moment. I use Braille in reading you these remarks, in labeling canned goods, CDs, and computer cords, to read along with the shopping assistant when I am grocery shopping in the store. I print off a print list for them because often they have trouble processing if I read verbally, and I have my Braille copy and I just erase as I go. Or sometimes I bring along the Braille note. It just depends on how I'm feeling. To verify the spelling of names in emails or any other correspondence. When copying down phone numbers or other long numbers, when editing documents efficiently by routing the cursor keys quickly to the specific place in a given line of text that I need to interact with, to check the time without notifying others that I'm doing so, while I'm teaching, to check the time to determine what kind of activity I should engage my students in to fill up time before the end of the class period. I use Braille for my notes when I lecture. I use Braille when I give speeches. Also in class, when reviewing assignment requirements for students, I use Braille. You know, when you are a professor or any kind of teacher for that matter, you have to call on not only the students who participate a lot, but the quiet students. So when I have a list of my roster, then I can check off the students who have spoken up a lot and then specifically call on those who haven't. It's a means of taking attendance, of tracking participation points, and of making sure that everyone has an equal say. I use Braille to read the bulletin that my place of worship sends me on a weekly basis. They send me the bulletin in Word. I Braille it, I have it, and read along with everyone else. I happen to be a lay reader at my place of worship, and so I use Braille when I have to read the scripture. I am in my place of worship's choir, and so though I don't read Braille music, I do have the lyrics of the songs Brailled out. I use Braille to read poetry to my partner. I use Braille as a means of keeping up with the blindness-related organizations that I donate money to. And of course, in restaurants, I use Braille when they provide menus in that format. And also, I use Braille when it is provided as accessible signage in public buildings. Now we are at the interview portion of the podcast, and I would like to apologize in advance for the poor quality of the recordings that I made via Skype with the people that I interviewed. Sometimes the interviewees break up, but you will be able to understand their meaning from the context. I interviewed 4 people for this podcast, all of whom use Braille on a daily basis. One of these individuals has been a personal friend of mine for over a year. The other 3 I had the pleasure of meeting in making this podcast. I am now honored to call them my friends as well. Tony Swartz is a friend of mine in Pennsylvania. He has worked in the information technology field for many years. He and I serve on a board of directors together, and I look up to Tony for his people skills and his negotiation skills. Helen Stevens is from Pennsylvania as well. She is currently studying at the University of Hamburg in Germany. Dr. Judy Dixon is what I would consider to be quite a famous blind person in the United States. She will describe herself more fully in the introduction, so I won't go into all of her career-related accomplishments at this time. I'll let Dr. Dixon describe those herself. But I have admired Dr. Dixon for many years because she celebrates Braille in her life. She has a collection of slates and styli. She wrote the Label It book, published by National Braille Press. And, of course, she has been one of the most important figures at the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped for decades. And I could describe the final person I interviewed for this podcast, but why don't I just play a jingle that will tell who this is?
It's the wonderful Mosen Explosion, where you're hearing things,
where you're hearing things.
So there you go. Jonathan Mosen himself is going to be providing his ideas on the use of Braille. I hope all of you enjoy this podcast.
I'm Judy Dixon, and I work at the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. My job title is Consumer Relations Officer, but the last few years I've been primarily focused on Braille activities. For the last 3 years, I've been chair of the Braille Authority of North America and secretary of the International Council on English Braille, and so I'm doing all kinds of Braille stuff these days. So I've been at the National Library Service for almost 29 years. So I'm also very involved in all the technology that we all know, and especially the Braille technology and Braille displays and Braille embossers and all. My life is a lot about Braille.
Have authored a book that is very popular in the blindness field. Do you want to give us a plug there?
Label It as the only book I've ever written. So my husband's threatening to write a book called Living with Someone Who Labels. And I don't quite know what he intends to put in it, but...
That is fabulous.
But Label It is by the Braille Press, and they have it in Braille in print, and it's also available in audio, both digital and cassette from NLS. I also edited a book, which we had 29 contributors in 2000, called Braille into the Next Millennium. And that was kind of a fun book. It looked at Braille in the past, Braille in the present, and Braille in the future, and had major figures in the field of Braille writing about their perspective on various topics.
Yeah, so basically for me, this is quite a coup, getting you to be interviewed. Really, really.
So a little bit about me. I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I'm based in New Zealand. By day, I'm the Vice President of Blindness Hardware Product Management at Freedom Scientific. I also have a keen interest in broadcasting. I've been known to do a little bit of internet radio from time to time. Was the founder of ACB Radio, directed that for around about 4 years. Had a career in commercial broadcasting. Have also done a stint as a political lobbyist in New Zealand's capital. Have stood for Parliament a couple of times in New Zealand, the first congenitally blind person to do that. I am married and have 4 children, and Braille is a really important part of my life.
My name is Helen Stevens. I'm 20 years old. I'm a junior at Harvard, but I'm studying abroad this year in Hamburg, Germany. I study government.
What is the program that you went abroad on? I'm just curious.
It's a study abroad program through Smith College. They call it junior year abroad, and students from any college in the U.S. can apply to come here and take 2 semesters worth of courses at the University of Hamburg with their support.
My name is Tony Swartz, and I'm 56 years old. I've been blind all my life. I did have some vision as a child, enough to see light and shadow and some color. I went to a school for the blind for my elementary education, and so I was introduced to Braille the way sighted children are introduced to print. I used it in my daily education. At the school for the blind, we had books in Braille, and we were expected to take notes and tests and so forth, all written with the slate and stylus.
I started learning Braille when I was in preschool. I was very fortunate in that because I do have enough vision to see some print, but I was taught Braille anyways from a very young age and received pretty much all of my school materials growing up in Braille.
I started to learn Braille at the age of 5, so I guess you would say that I was going to learn to read and write at the same age as everyone else. I went to school for the blind in New Zealand, the one school for the blind that there was, right through my primary school years, so until I was around about 11 when I went to a mainstream school. And I remember distinctly starting off with the lines. They used to have these books with lots of Braille lines where your fingers would just be taught to track Braille correctly. And then we moved on to open-spaced Braille books. There's one called Tip and Mitten, I think, was one of the very first Braille books I ever read. And the Jack and Janet and all those sorts of things. So I was very fortunate to have access to good Braille instruction right from the age that any child would be learning to read and write.
They put me in the sight saving class for a couple of weeks because I did have some vision, but they decided my sight wasn't worth saving because I wasn't very good at reading print. And so they moved me to the Braille class. And so I started, you know, really in first grade. But I had a transcribing group that transcribed my books for me. It was amazing. It was absolutely fabulous because I had all these books. I mean, sometimes they'd deliver a volume at my house at 9 o'clock at night for a biology test the next morning. But, you know, other than that, I did have a lot of Braille until I started college, and nearing the end of high school, and they said, you know, when you get to college, we're not going to be able to Braille all your books for you. So you're going to have to decide what you really want in Braille. And there was a really good Nimitz transcriber in the group. And I loved math and took a lot of math courses. So she kept doing statistics and calculus and things like that. And they told me I had to start using tape. So I think it was my senior year in high school, I had a literature book on tape, which was painful, absolutely painful. I'm not a very good audio learner. But then when I went to college, I had to have a lot of tapes. But I survived somehow. I walked around the school building with a whole stack of Braille books and a little tiny typewriter that I carried around with me from class to class. And I should have developed a lot of muscles or at least gotten longer arms, but it was a lot to carry around.
How do you use Braille in your job and your personal life?
For the last 26 years, I've worked in the IT field as a computer systems analyst, and then I managed a team of programmer analysts over the last 12 to 15 years. Although, even at the end of my employment, I continued to write code and design applications. I'm also involved in the voiceover business, and I do some script work, some commercials, and that sort of thing. I use Braille extensively, both in my position as a computer systems analyst and in the voiceover work. In the field of IT, I used Braille not only for the purpose of proofreading computer code, but also for brailing notes, taking down phone numbers, the usual kind of communicating with myself. So that my work environment, if you were to look at my desk, I had a keyboard for my PC, which sat in a little tray just above my knees. And then on the surface of the workstation was a Braille writer. And I would have on my desk some notebooks that I would take to meetings, and each of the notebooks had a pocket for a slate and stylus. And so I used Braille in every aspect of my job. In the voiceover field, I use Braille as my copy. And so I might edit down a copy and then send it to a Braille printer, and that will be the copy that I use behind the mic. It's interesting. The only disadvantage to that is that in my little recording booth, I've had to build a two-shelf counter with a mic above that, and with the Braille material on the lower shelf so that I can read copy and have the sound of my fingers over Braille muted by the first level counter.
I used to use a computer visually before I got screen reading software, and before I knew about screen reading software when I was in middle school. And like I said, I can read, but it's extremely slow and ineffective, so I don't. Right around the time when I was finishing up high school, I didn't used to use a cane. But as I was starting to go into more and more unfamiliar areas, I found that I could walk much more confidently if I didn't have to worry about what I could see and what I couldn't. If I could just focus on walking and doing other things instead of having to entrust my cane, instead of having to pay attention to what was on the ground. Were there any steps? Were there any poles? Any of those things. This way, I find it a lot easier, a lot safer. I'm much more confident.
How do you use Braille as a student in Germany and when you're in the U.S.?
I use Braille every day as a student. I have a Braille note taker, a Braille note that I take to class so that I can sit and take notes on the discussion or the lecture. And I find that to be really effective because if I have my computer, for one, the computer is more distracting, and also I find it more difficult to have to listen to my computer talking while professor or other students are speaking, where with my Braille note, I can just sit there and read anything I write on the Braille display, and it takes less attention off my actual participation in the class. When I'm giving a presentation, I print out my notes with my Braille embosser so that I can take them with me. Usually either some notes or the text of my PowerPoint slide, since I can't look at the text that's on the screen while I'm giving the presentation. And I found that allows me to give much more effective presentations more fluidly instead of less likely to have to stop and think having the notes there. Also then I have a Braille display that I use with my laptop that I especially use here because when I'm writing in German, I have to look back much more on spelling and punctuation, and there it's a lot easier to look at spelling with a Braille display than to have JAWS spell out each word for you.
So when you're in a Seminar in Germany, do you take notes in English or German?
Mix of both.
That's why reading the Braille versus hearing the speech is helpful, I assume.
That also, even back in the U.S., I do it on my, I prefer much more taking my notes in Braille.
My current job is the Vice President of Blindness Hardware Product Management at Freedom Scientific. So Freedom Scientific is the manufacturer of a wide range of technology products that many listeners will be using, including JAWS for Windows and the Pac-8 and the Focusrite Braille displays and many other things. So my role is to look after the blindness hardware side of the business. That includes the PacMate Omni and all of the stuff that we developed to run on that. Also the Focus line of Braille displays and a few other technologies as well. In my job, I look after the future direction of those products, so talking about what we might do with future versions, future enhancements, that kind of thing, working with our software developers to make those visions turn into actual product, and also liaising with our sales teams and going to conferences such as the NFB and ACB conventions, CSUN, Site Village in the UK, to really explain to our customers how these products work and showcase some of the new innovations that we've been working on in the previous year. Braille is an absolutely pivotal part of my role. For example, when I'm writing documents, I find that it's so much easier to proof in Braille. It's a very visual world out there. And I think it's important when we put documents together that they look visually appealing and that they look correct. So Braille gives me a very good understanding of the way that a document is formatted. It also allows me to catch some things that a speech or a spell checker would have difficulty catching. For example, sometimes using T-O-O when you should use T-O and vice versa, making sure that things are correctly capitalized, all of those sorts of things. So when I'm writing presentations to submit, I will use Braille all the time. When I'm giving a presentation, Braille is absolutely critical. So I'm running a PowerPoint presentation, for example, at a major conference, and I have my speaking notes on my PacMate in Braille. And I'm able to look through those speaking notes and talk to them. In my work with internet broadcasting and previously with radio broadcasting, Braille has been absolutely critical. You know, to be able to read a weather forecast or an email from someone or a request or a job advertisement, something like that, Braille is just so important. So without it, I know that I would not have been able to be as productive in my various jobs as I have been. When I'm working with the Mosin Explosion, which I have been doing in my spare time, yes, I read news stories, emails from listeners, all those using my PacMate. And that really makes a difference. Some people have not had the access to Braille that I have and are not able to read at that kind of speed. I'm a very fast Braille reader, and it allows me to get some copy, an email from a listener or whatever, and read it on the air. And I think that just adds another dimension to things. Also, for example, when I worked in commercial radio, that was really important. Somebody might need to bring in an ad from a client, or maybe there was a news story that needed reading or an updated weather forecast. So they would be able to run that through the Braille embosser at the various radio stations where I worked and give that to me and know that I would be able to read it. And that's important because they would be able to give that hard copy to a sighted person and expect them to read it. And there's no reason why a blind person shouldn't be expected to do the same thing. Braille, I think, is a wonderful equalizer. When you look at the fact that about 90% of Braille readers who are job seekers have a job, the evidence is absolutely convincing and compelling that Braille is a means of employment.
I have so much technology. I'm living in an embarrassment of riches, and it's wonderful. So I'll tell you what I use. I mean, there are people who don't even have any Braille display, and I have a whole lot of them. I think it's really important to have a Braille display. Every so often, for some reason, something will happen, and I need to use my computer with just speech, and I find it very difficult. I use a Braille display with all my computers, and I have an 80-character Brailleant at work. I have a 40-character Brailleant on my laptop at home. I have an 80-character, what is that thing called? A DM80, an older display from Baum, at home. I have a 40-character Vario that's a spare. I have a 12-character Braille Connect that I use with my phone, and an 18-character Braille Note PK that I use as my portable note taker. So I have a lot of Braille displays.
That is quite a stash.
And I have a Braille Express at work, and a Braille, a Juliet at home, and a couple of Perkinses and things like that thrown in. So I really love my Braille displays. As a matter of fact, I just got a netbook, and I'm using my 12-cell Braille Connect with it, but it's hard. It's not a it's fine for a phone, but it's not so good for really actually doing real work. So I'm now considering buying another Braille Connect, and I just can't decide whether to buy a 24 or a 32 for it.
As you studied German and learned how to spell new words, how did you get the spelling of words and what's capitalized, what's not, all that kind of stuff into your brain?
When I first started learning German, I did everything in Braille. I had my textbooks in Braille and everything, and that was extremely important, specifically a lot of the spelling, the capitalization, and other punctuations.
Do you read German contracted or uncontracted Braille?
I cannot read German contracted Braille well. I don't do enough reading in German Braille mm-hmm. here for that to be the case. Back in the U.S., I wasn't able to start getting German contracted Braille till shortly before I came over here. I can write a lot of the German contracted Braille, and I can read, you know, for example, any signage like the train platform signs. That I can read fine.
Given that I have a Braille note, I think I understand probably what you use that for. I assume maybe your calendar or keeping track of people's addresses.
I use the database.
Uh-huh.
A lot. That's probably what I use the most. And then the word processor and the address book. It's always a little bit of a struggle to decide which function am I going to do on which thing. And I'll do one for a while, and then I'll switch to another one for a while and just kind of see what works. And right now I'm using the calendar on my phone, and I really like that. So, because I can put an alarm in, but I can put an alarm in the PK as well. But my phone's with me just a little bit more than the PK is. So I use the calendar on my phone, but I use the database. I keep all kinds of information, and so I have a whole bunch of databases, and I keep a lot of stuff in that on the PK.
I have my Braille embosser is a Juliet Pro 60. I just got it this year before I came to Germany, and I really like it. It's a double-sided embosser, which I find especially helpful with because it consumes less paper. My Braille display is a Brilliant 40. I had never initially considered getting a Braille display until I took a computer programming course. And a friend of mine lent me a Braille display that he had so that I could more effectively read the computer code that I was editing, because that was hard to listen to since the punctuation there is and exact syntax is extremely important. And I discovered how helpful one could be in a lot of situations, and I looked at a bunch. And I like the Brilliant model because it's extremely narrow and light, which means I can very easily put it in my backpack with my laptop to take it somewhere. They make the Brilliant in different cell numbers. I chose 40 because it's the length of a standard Braille line, which I find to be a reasonable distance. It fits a reasonable number of words without being cumbersome and too large. Like I personal preference would find the 80 cell display model to be too large. I stopped using a Braille writer a while back because whenever I'm doing just a little bit of writing, it's just as effective, I've found, to use a slate and stylus. For example, if I'm going somewhere totally new and I want to write down a couple street names to take with me or a couple key directions or somebody's phone number that I'm meeting, I can take an index card and just Braille that information out on that and keep it in my pocket. If I'm walking around, I don't want to have to pull my note taker out, or I don't always even want to take my note kit taker with me, but I don't want to have to pull that out where, especially in the winter where I have a jacket, I can just put a note card in my jacket pocket and stick my hand in and read it.
Sounds like you've learned a lesson or two from Dr. Nemeth.
I have a Braille watch. Mine is actually both a Braille and talking watch, because certainly I can't press a button and have my watch talk. That would be very intrusive. But also there are times, for example, when I'm eating, I don't want to feel the face of my watch. I have noticed, for example, at the main train in Schnittenberg, the platforms, as you go down the stairs to the platforms, they're marked in Braille. From several other students in my program have pointed out to me, showed me several medications that are labeled in Braille, which I had never seen back in the U.S. The one thing I've noticed less here is certainly in buildings, I haven't noticed as many signs marking rooms, for example, in university buildings.
Let's see. In terms of technology that I have that is Braille-related, I still have my very first Braille lights, which the government in New Zealand bought for me back in 1996, and that still goes. And that served me quite well. I did own a Braille note. I don't anymore. I sold that. I have a Portateal embosser, which is great when you need a copy, although I tend to be very comfortable with electronic Braille. I don't use it that often. And then the other technology that I use is some Freedom Scientific technology. So I have Focus 80 Braille display in my office, and it's a great piece of kit. Working away on projects that are work-related. To have the PacMate, both a BX and a QX 440, so there are two Braille displays there, and of course they're interchangeable. And of course I have a Focus 40, which is the new Freedom Scientific Bluetooth Braille display, which also works with Torx on my cell phone, so that's pretty nifty as well, and that's the Braille technology that I have. There is a low-tech stuff as well, of course. Yes, I do have a Braille watch and use it all the time. It's so much more dignified to me and private than hearing talking watches blurting away. And of course, I don't have to be a Braille reader to use a Braille watch. I think sometimes people hear the term Braille watch and think, okay, I'm not a Braille reader, so therefore a Braille watch is no good to me. And we do have Dymo labelers and of course the good old Perkins. We have at least one. My wife also has a Perkins, so we probably have two lurking about here. Although we digitize our music, we do still Braille label our CDs and put Braille on all kinds of things. So Braille plays a big part in our lives. We have a calendar on the fridge, for example, which is useful as well. And so, you see, I think sometimes Braille is just such a my life that I think I really make a point about it. It's amazing how much Braille is just so there that I don't even give it any thought.
I don't have a Braille display, and I would kill for one. I would kill for one. I do have a Braille embosser or printer, a Braille writer, slate and stylus. I use a Braille watch. In fact, I'm one of those odd people. I can't stand the talking watches. Because you can't sneak a peek at your watch if you're using a talking watch, although I guess people have found some way to do it. But it just seems to me that a Braille watch is far more convenient and private. I use Braille labeling. I don't have a Braille labeler, but I do have slates with the slots that you can put Dymo tape in and Braille on, and I label my CDs and all manner of things, equipment. I have mixers and so forth that are all Brailled, and once again, it's a way to communicate with myself. I would prefer Braille signage. Of course, the problem with Braille signage is locating the Braille sign. So when it comes to men's room and women's room, I look for something on the wall. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it isn't. I do use Braille menus in restaurants. But I must admit to sometimes forgetting to ask, and I think that's something that we all need to remember to do. Whether the restaurant has it or not, it doesn't matter. I think the importance is in our asking, and that demonstrates our expectation that there will be Braille menus. With respect to the literacy question, that is, are we more literate by using Braille? I always tell people that Braille under the fingers is like print under the eyes. Sound is fleeting. You know, it's ephemeral. It's here, gone. So we've all had the experience of reading with synthesized speech, a phone number, and of course you hear the number and then it's gone. And if you don't get it on the first try, then you've got to route your cursor over to the number and take it in character by character. And that's essentially what you do, although far more conveniently, when you read a phone number in Braille. There are things that I don't use Braille for. I wouldn't necessarily sit down and read a novel in Braille. And there are, as most people recognize, a lot of reasons for that in terms of mailing books back and forth and so forth. But for technical materials, I prefer Braille. And I wish, for instance, that I had a Braille dictionary. I have access to many dictionaries on the web and so forth, but none would be as convenient as having a Braille dictionary.
I am very fortunate in that my state rehab counselor has helped me to be able to obtain everything that I have needed to be successful as a student. You know, when I've come to them and explained to them how a device would be helpful to me, he's worked very hard at securing the funding so that I could have the devices.
There are certain things that you just can't use speech synthesis for. One of those, for example, would be reading. If you have to give a speech and it's important to pretty much follow the script, it's very difficult to do that with speech and be fluent. So Braille is the only option there. Braille is also very, very important to me as a dad. I've got four children. The oldest is 13 and the youngest is 6. And they're sighted. And we spend a lot of time with these dual mode books that have Braille and print. And so I can sit down with them and read a story to them. They can follow along. We can discuss the pictures. And I look back on all the times that we've shared stories. They're magical, special moments. And I would not have been able to make that huge contribution as a parent, foster their love of reading, if I was a Braille reader. There's no way that using speech synthesis in some way that I can't even imagine would have been really as bond-forming or effective or memorable for the kids. So then, of course, there are just times when having it under your fingertips makes the information sink in more. I have my speech cranked up pretty fast, and that's fine for getting through information quickly. But sometimes sit down and just really read and absorb something. And for me, having it under your fingertips just makes it real somehow. So that's not to say that, you know, that speech synthesis isn't an appropriate tool in certain situations. I will still, for example, sit down and maybe read a book of fiction, synthetic speech, because maybe I want to wander around the house with a Bluetooth headset in the garden or something like that. So you certainly use the tool that's appropriate. But there are some instances where Braille can achieve things for you that are absolutely impossible to achieve with speech. The bottom line for me is that Braille is the only true means of literacy that a blind person has. To me, literacy is about being able to write something down and read back what you can. Now, that doesn't mean write something down and having a machine read back. It means you as an individual being able to read something and process it with your brain. And Braille is the only means of literacy, of true literacy, that the person has. I do have a concern, which is that there is a tendency these days to think that anything that isn't, quote, mainstream, quote, is inferior in some way. And I think that's unfortunate because we as blind people are a demographic, we are a market, and we are just as entitled to have our needs met in terms of our need to be efficient and productive and effective as anyone else. And so I know that sometimes younger people these days will frown on Braille because they seem to think it's like a blindness-specific, almost a ghetto-type solution. The reality is that blind people need to be literate, and Braille is the means of achieving that literacy and independence and productivity. And for those people who perhaps are listening to this who are adults who didn't have the access to Braille that they should have, or maybe they went blind later in life and up until now have thought, you know, it's too late for me. It's never too late. You may not necessarily be able to have the speed or the proficiency of somebody who's been doing this from an early age. And in a way, it's just learning another language. People say you should always try and do that when you're younger, when your brain's a little bit more receptive. But it's never too late. And I've seen adults who have taken up Braille who have had their whole lives changed. So I would just encourage people to, if you've been dismissive of Braille before, to give it a second look. I think you'll be very glad that you did.